Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains Cast 77. I am Joe Steinkamp.
77. Sunset Strip, right?
Strip.
Isn't that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's another really old, really old show. Really old
took,
show.
I'm Route JJ. 66 to get to Sunset
77.
Strip. No, I don't think. Yeah. No. Now you're just going to make me say Car 54, where are you?
88 miles an hour coming at 11 shows.
That's Patrick. Hey, Patrick.
88.8. Oh, yes, our episode will be 88.8. That'll be it. Which will probably drive our pod track numbers right out into the ground. It'll be, what? No, you changed your title.
No, I'm going to make Patrick bleep because episode 88 is just going to be called Serious Sh.
You're going to see
some. Have we ever had a bleep on this show before?
I don't think so. I don't even think our outtakes require
and, that. And, you know, I won't even know. We'll decide later whether that actually...
Yeah, that's true.
I had we did a... after
the political border climate, all bets are off.
That's one of those border words. No, we did the one podcast way back when, I think it was a Bleo, and there was some book in that. I had to put an NSFW tag on the podcast.
Yes.
I wasn't going to bleep it. I just left it in there.
Yes. I remember. Again, anyway. I'm reminded of a previous show we used to do with a certain co-host named Anna that would find ways to push the boundaries. She was good at that. Mm-hmm. There is actual news here. We'll get to that in a second. We have Last Word and all the other fun stuff that you know from the BBQ. And something in the middle. Not really sure. It might be about keyboards and things.
We'll see how much middle there is.
What happens? We actually talked really long last week. We almost thought we had something in the middle and we didn't. So that was actually kind of cool. Thank you for your comments about Android. There was a lot of people writing into us about that. And like I said, we're walking both sides of that line. Jay, I did not order a Pixel. I ordered a SmartCast, which is a Vizio television with a Chromecast built inside it, so I can use my Google Home to throw things to the Chromecast video. So
your Google Assistant, because you don't have a Home, right?
If you open up your Google Cast app, you will see that it's been renamed Google Home.
Oh, that's true. You're right. It's now been, and this is on either platform, iOS or Android, right? Or
so
they're renaming the Cast
app. I am going to get a Pixel. That's still in the cards. That Verizon story kind of really threw me. So if you didn't know and you didn't read show notes, Verizon is going to release the Pixel, but it's going to be locked. So you can't do a bootloader or anything like that. And I don't mod my phones generally, but I just don't like the idea that Verizon is going to stall updates and the like. So I have to save up just a little
Stalling
bit
updates
more.
Is not good.
I have to save up just a little bit more and buy that as an unlock in order to get what I want, which is
the whole reason,
updates.
The whole reason to buy a Google device. And the big reason of that is to get the unlocked, unencumbered version. So sorry, Verizon.
Not the Verizon nerfed version, which is also kind of leading into one of the bigger stories in Androidville. Goodbye, Note 7. Barely, you know, it's almost like we need Patrick to come in with Kendall in the wind in the background. Goodbye, Note 7. We barely knew ye.
This note is on fire.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I like that one. I some people who said that Amazon got fired too soon. Samsung could add that. The hits just keep on coming. Samsung has pretty much said, we're calling that. So much so that they're sending fireproof boxes and gloves in the mail for people to do mass shipment and returns of the Galaxy Note 7. This may be one of those things where Samsung tried to get the drop on Apple and just went too far, too quick, too fast, and rushed this into production.
Yep.
Note,
did you notice the timing of when they announced this?
It couldn't be worse, to be honest with you.
But they try to kind of bury the news a bit with the announcements.
Oh, yes, when they made the announcement? Yeah, during...
Sunday around 9 p.m. when there's, 67 million people watching a debate.
Or watching football. at the same time.
So in between...
It was like it was the same way that some people unfortunately release information on the day of an Apple event and think it's going to make it to the top of the news. Like it's counter-programming.
Why would you do that? Unless it's maybe Apple-related.
I'm going to release a romantic comedy on the same day that the new Star Wars movie comes out. It's called counter-programming.
You might get a couple million. I mean, some people watch the Doggy Bowl during the Super Bowl.
That's true. And the Kitten Bowl, which just came along a little later. Yeah. Now, some people have gotten this confused with the Galaxy S7. Not that Samsung is any much better on confusing branding, but the S7 that Jay has is not recalled. I had one or two people ask me, oh, is JJ going to return his phone? I was like, no, not the same phone. But I can see how you
that one hasn't exploded yet.
Yet. I like
this. For now, it's okay. So we'll see what happens later. So
there's actually been some reports of iPhone explosions too. Naturally, they don't make the news nearly as much.
But no,
it
wasn't corroborated as much. Maybe I don't know to see what's going on with that. But I'm sure.
But any battery can do that. It's not exclusive to Samsung. Although
every news outlet now is looking for any phone that's exploding and trying to make a story out of it. So that's how it is. Joe challenged me to find news. He's like, there's no news this week. There's no news. Well, there wasn't until about 2 hours ago. And then kind of dug around. And there are some things
when a show comes together.
Yeah, you know, there's some things we realize that, you know, they've kind of been floating around for a short little bit or pretty recently. But they're still topical and we just haven't really covered them yet. So starting with the Orbit Reader 20, which is a huge topic and perhaps game changer for Braille displays.
Now Patrick can play that old ketchup. Yeah. Music anticipation, which, you know, haven't.
I was thinking the Nintendo anticipation video game thing.
But yes, this is a hotly anticipated device. Naturally, the Orbit Reader is one of those things that people are hoping lowers the bar to entry for Braille.
Under $500. What's one of the most exciting things you can do when getting a new device? It's reading the manual, of course. But you can do that. Don't worry. I kind of skimmed it for you if you don't want to read the whole manual. There's going to be two modes. One's a standalone mode, which is pretty much the library mode where you insert an SD card with an already brailled file, a translated file using Duxbury or LibLui or something else, or, you know, or downloaded BART books. And then you can just read that as, you know, as you would. And then there's remote mode, which will work with all the screen readers out of the box. How are they already doing this? Well, if your screen reader doesn't support the new Orbit, you can just tell it that it's a refresher Braille, or you tell the Orbit that it's a refresher Braille, kind of like you did with the Smart Beetle at first. You told it, pretended it was a Braille Sense. So it's similar enough that they're like, yeah, it's still a bomb display. And that's what you would do, but it will work with everything that a refresher Braille would work with, which is everything essentially. So
just about
So you have your screen reader support. Now iOS 10 already has support for it specifically, and, you know, and the Mac OS and such. So you don't even have to do anything for that. If you have other things like Android,
that was the beauty of waiting until JAWS. The fall to release this thing. Somebody asked me that and I was under NDA and couldn't say anything because developer licenses and the like. But yeah, a lot of devices kind of sort of, if you notice in patterns, will wait till they get closer to iOS time. That way they're working with the latest version of iOS, and the public beta is really
lots of fall stuff. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look at, you know, NVDA, it's they're on a quicker cycle. So that, as we mentioned before, they added it, you know, JAWS 18, which we'll talk about in a minute. You know, again, it gets released in October. iOS gets released in September. Android can just upgrade Braille back whenever they feel like it, once every 3 years, hopefully soon.
Set your sundial.
You know, exactly. I mean, but it's out there, you know, USB and Bluetooth, 20 cells, as it was mentioned before. There is some basic file editing as well, so you can at least do that. And, you know, we'll just have to see how it all works in practice when it actually comes out soon.
Now,
and for under $500, I'm definitely tempted to buy one.
Early adopter, first devices. We'll see how this goes. Pull into forum. I think this is fantastic. They had a lot of information coming out about it in graffiti from their recent conference. I was watching on Twitter, which I thought was really interesting.
Speaking of digging for news, you wanted me to dig for news. MIP Soft? MIP Soft. In a random
Twitter
conversation.
Sounds weirder when you say it rather than my screen reader, but keep going.
Yeah, because it's MIP Soft, right? they're the ones that make Blind Square. And they, according to their Twitter, and we knew this has been kind of a thing, but they say, we've been working on an Android app for the past 18 months, and it sounds like something is coming soon. It's not going to be Blind Square, according to the Twitter, but it will be something. What is that something?
I don't know. That is really interesting because there is a fair number of things, you know, nearby and the like on Android.
Yeah, but we said that for iOS too. Like, why would we have nearby for iOS? Some people say that. I definitely understand it.
I'm probably going to end up getting nearby on iOS because Ricky already has Blind Square, so that way we can race them like we do Uber and Lyft. Like, you look to see if Uber's closer. I'll look and see if Lyft is closer. So
why are there two cars in our driveway?
Yeah, exactly. I know there's. All right, you go get dinner. I'll go get Kyle.
I'll meet you at the restaurant.
Exactly. I'll get the table. The comparisons are going to be out there. There are going to be people who do podcasts, possibly inclusive Android, and definitely AppleVis. I haven't really seen too many people go into the deep dives of these. Again, like you've always said, it's good to have choices, but I'll be interested because remember not too long ago, VoiceDream, you know, the developer of VoiceDream was like, there's not enough people on Android. It's not worth it to me. On and on and on. I don't know. Certainly there are a lot more opportunities to find a platform that people are using on Android. Recently, CyanogenMod is kind of getting out of the operating system market. That's a mainstream news story. Mm-hmm. We don't really talk about it here, but the players are starting to thin down to two, unless the rumored Surface phone shows up, then that kind of reopens everything. But you really do have two real platforms that you can develop for, and there are blind Android users. And I know that's hard for some people to understand.
Well, I mean, and the Braille Note Touch brings more, right? The Braille Note Touch brings more of the people to that platform as well. And maybe that's part of the reason. Let's not do Blind Square for Android. What else can we do that will better fit in with what already exists? Because Nearby Explorer on Android does have a free version, Nearby Explorer Online. So you're already competing against that in addition to Google, in addition to some other apps, some newer ones that we'll talk about.
Some people said to me that they've rethought their Android position since Google did their thing back at summer convention of paying, subsidizing for a short time, Canopy Reader. And they didn't think that that swung the adoption rate, but it did make some of the development community kind of rethink. And possibly that's why Learning Ally, who I follow on Twitter, but I forget about them at times, is back with an updated mobile apps and a new kind of branding strategy kind of idea, which is good because now we won't fall or stumble down the Learning Alley.
First of all, by the way, thanks to Googling, it is still $19.99. So it's limited, but
really, I thought that I had ended in September. Okay, well, happy to be wrong.
According to the app description and according to the in-app products list on the App Store or the Google Play listing, yes, still $19.99. If it's supposed to end, it's still going.
Get it if you didn't already have it. Yeah, get it. It is a good thing to have. Get it now if you haven't,
because it may go back up. But anyway, yeah, sorry. Speaking of books, though, yes, Learning Ally Link. And this came out a little while ago. The old version of the Learning Ally app was one of those where you could read your books on your iPhone or your Android, but you really couldn't do a lot of downloading. At least the way I don't have a membership, or I do have membership, but I have to dig it out. The password is somewhere, you know, and it's mostly textbooks. Exactly. So I honestly haven't played with it much personally. It might be password. Yes.
Yeah.
It's one of those old. I have one of the old legacy lifetime memberships that they don't give out anymore. Now they charge like $100 a year. I have one of these pre-1994 memberships. So I could actually do this if I was really bored. But you can now search for books and do a lot more stuff on the new Learning Ally Link app, available for iOS, Windows, Mac, and Chrome. Android coming. Interesting choice of the way this came out.
Well, education.
Chromebooks. Education? Yeah. Chromebook that, education? That's makes the
first
a lot of
thing
sense.
I thought of when you said it. That makes,
makes a lot of sense.
When I say I forget about these guys, they don't show to conventions as much as they used to. You know, like 5 years ago, you would see them at CSUN and the like. I think they still do ATIA, but I follow them on Twitter. I just keep forget about them at times because Bookshare is just so synonymous now.
They've dwarfed them now. I mean, yeah. I'm sure that there's great people that work over there, I'm sure. But, you know, Bookshare is over 400,000 where Learning Ally, I just want to say RFD, has 80,000. RFB has 80,000 books. And Bookshare can just get things faster now, especially through all the digital publishing and things like that.
Partnerships.
Everything on Learning Ally.
The Riley and the like, yeah.
Right. Everything still has to be read. And sure, I could see some uses for things having to be read, but ultimately, it is quicker and easier and faster to do things on Bookshare. The one thing that you would have on a Learning Ally book that you wouldn't have on Bookshare traditionally is descriptions of pictures and things like that. But a lot of that is now starting to be filled in, at least in some limited situations. So I wish them well. I don't know. Does it make sense for them to be around forever? Should they refocus? Should they merge? I don't know. Do any of you listeners, are you guys still Learning Ally fans? Is it a thing you go to? at all, definitely let us know feedback at blindbargains.com and let us know if that's still a thing. Agreed. I haven't been in school for a while. Joe hasn't been in school for a long while.
No. We did phase out the stone tablets. That was a good thing. I have the 14-year-old, so I still feel sometimes, oh God, it was so good to go to a freshman orientation that wasn't my own. It was good to go there and go, wow, I remember all of this. I am so glad I don't remember all of this now. It's there was a Saturday Night Live sketch that was on this last Saturday. And it was the substitute teacher that's trying to connect with kids, and he comes in and tries to rap Shakespeare, and they already guessed it, and all the tropes you would see with, you know, the hip substitute teacher they were guessing in the classroom already. And I was like, yes, that sounds like half the things Kyle tells me when he comes home from school. It's just, I'm going to reach out to these kids. Yeah. They were all despondent about it. Now, you mentioned reading. One of the great ways to read Access World is to use that app and relax with your device of choice, say iPad, iPhone, or what have you, and read some of these great articles. And you can do so. A perfect opportunity is the new October 2016 edition, which features, hey, look at that, Orbit Reader. Go figure.
Look at that.
A review of that. And some things about making music on iOS and Android, as well as a lot about employment. The article, I don't think that I will read.
Jamie Paul's app or article.
The article I don't think that I'll read is the tips for vocational rehabilitation. That might be.
Not your thing.
Not my thing. Dude, I did it for 10 years.
Is that not your thing anymore?
not anymore. No. It's like happy to put that behind me. But that doesn't mean that there isn't good information there and that you should read it. Definitely head on over to either the Access World site, which you can find, of course, through a Google search, or go on over to show notes and read it at blindbargains.com for episode 77.
You know, we've been talking about a lot of what's been coming out in this fall, and as far as new things and the Orbit Reader working with a new version of Jaws. We mentioned Jaws 18 a little bit here and there, but we really haven't talked about what's in Jaws 18. So with it coming out in the next couple of weeks, I thought we'd take a look and see some of the things that are going to be in Jaws. Yes, 18.
Wow. That's so strange. I was joking with somebody the other day about
it's grown up.
3-1, 3-5, 3-7.
No. Jaws is old enough to vote now.
That is strange. That is so strange to think about. So what is in, what will I be using my SMA for this fall?
Well, there's a lot here, and it's all on the Blind Bargains website, which we like to, but I'm going to jump to this, because of you as a Low Vision user, and we alluded to this before. Jaws 18 and Zoom Text 11 seamlessly working together. You don't have to, doesn't matter which one you've installed first, started first, etc. The speech will come from Jaws, except for things like App Reader, and the magnification will come from Zoom Text. The Jaws hotkeys will take precedence, etc. And there you go. I mean, that's huge, right? For a low vision person.
I have no reaction for. I am a contractor with VFO AI squared and am under NDA.
That's true. So you can't directly react.
No, but. No. Nor can I confirm or deny said such release notes.
Well, the release notes are public. So you can confirm the release notes.
I'll be able to say a lot. But
yep.
Currently, right
that
now,
that to me jumped out. Now, yes, the release notes are all public. It isn't anything. These are public betas.
They are, but what I know is not. So there's a big difference.
Well, there you go. So that's in there. A bunch of Google Docs stuff. Being able to type in contracted Braille for Google Docs. A lot of touchscreen support is in here. New stuff. There's you can jump into kind of the Windows. What is it? Windows plus volume down. Is it? Is that by getting that command right for starting Jaws from the touchscreen? It normally goes to narrator. Well,
narrator is on a touchscreen, Windows and up volume.
Volume up.
It's
Windows plus volume up, right?
Yeah.
So normally that's wrong. Okay, so apparently you can now make Jaws instead. Ew. So. And I'm guessing this is something that other screen readers can probably hook into as well, because it's an accessibility. It's the ease of access center, and you register your app
through. So you can go in there and define it. Okay. Well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, they give instructions. an NVDA feature as far as, and a narrator feature too, where the jaws will lower the volume of other programs while it's talking. Hello, voiceover.
Audio ducking. Oh, going, my goodness. Audio,
it's going everywhere.
Wow.
Like I said, a bunch of other touchscreen stuff. And then there's lots of, you know, there's always a huge list of bugs. But there you go. Oh, configuration files. If you have JAWS 17, at least you can, they will at least move forward. You don't have to recreate them again. That's
huzzah.
I'm not a JAWS user. So, I mean,
huzzah.
I always try to be transparent here. Look, I'm not a JAWS user, so I can't speak to this as much. You know, I always try to say, hey, you know, we talk about the things that we know. I don't know JAWS.
I'll be burning an SMA later this year, cause we use it for testing, related to contract work. So yeah, we have it here.
Well, that's huge.
I'm kind of torn because some people on Twitter were saying, and also in other social media, that 18 didn't have that many big features and that they weren't necessarily, you know, excited about it.
Yeah.
But from what I'm reading about public beta one to public beta two, they're definitely rolling in some cool stuff. You can also hear some of this over at FSCast, the Freedom Scientific podcast area. So if you want to hear some more deep down and dirties with Eric.
It depends where you're at. You know, if you're a Google Docs user, looks, there's a whole list of changes there. That's a big thing that they paid attention to. If you're a Zoom text user, that's a big thing. But if you're not.
If you're jumping from an iPhone 5 to a 7, a lot of changes. But if you're inside doing, incremental updates, you tend not to notice the changes as much. So I think that really comes down to frog and boiling water. Kind of thing is if you're in it, you don't notice the deltas nearly as much as you do the sunrises and sunsets. So for older users who are coming up who had to make a decision to buy an upgrade, then whoa, dude, look at all this awesomeness, possibly. But again, I think you're right. I got into this lovely conversation on Twitter not too long ago about that personalization thing and how inclusive design is moving forward and trying to kind of deal away with some perceived and unperceived stigmas of the term accessibility or A11Y-er, and how personalization really is going to be the future. And, there's no one right way. There's just the way that works right for you. And it's a real interesting conversation to have with people. And I think that's going to fuel podcasts like ours and others going forward. And you're going to have to test it defaults and then talk about customization, and your customization is going to be different than Ricky's and Patrick's and mine and Shelley's. And, you know, so it's going to be very interesting going forward because there's always going to be some feature sets that are made for a certain type of user that wouldn't necessarily affect others. You would not care about most of the Office 2016 needed fixes because it's just not where you live. Right. But the Chrome dock stuff, you like that. So I can see where that goes.
Well, I do use Office. I just haven't upgraded the 16 yet because of all the... I do care about the Office stuff.
I do not blame you.
No, I do care about the Office stuff. Obviously, you know, touchscreen, I don't have a Surface, but I understand the importance of that. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense there. So we don't have an exact release date, but I'm looking at this list of past year's JAWS release dates from someone who put this on a Wikipedia page. I don't know why that's a thing. JAWS 17 came out on October 29th of last year. JAWS 16 came out on October 28th. And they've been in this last week of October for the past like 5 years. So it seems like that.
Yeah, it used to be November. It used to be like right before Thanksgiving. But yeah, that would be right.
Well, JAWS 10 was the last one in November.
So again, we just retired the stone tablets and we've moved into using papyrus. So definitely moving forward in the old person's assistive technology.
Oh, that was the first version of JAWS that supported Sanskrit.
That would be true. And the touch feature supported hieroglyphics, and it was great. It was really good. You know, the early version of emoticons. Absolutely. OrCam is something that we get asked about a lot on the show.
Yeah, tell me about the early version of OrCam. To me, is goofy, but we have some updates.
I would not disagree. We've reached out to them to come on the show a couple of times. We've talked to them over at the podcasty type events that we've done, and they refer us on to doing some media stuff with them. Maybe that'll happen at some point, but in the meantime, we should mention that they do have some updates coming out of version 7. They're also starting to go global. Into Switzerland and Australia. They recently released the German version. Some of the updates for this version 7 include things like new gestures, for simpler personalization of the device. One of the new one is about having to do the latest feature for announce current time and stop where you're at and what's going on. So they have some information over at their website, and also I believe there's some YouTube demonstrations up there. So if you're into the OrCam, or if you're, you know, into that technology that we don't often talk about, like the BrainPort and others, they do have updates, and we try to put those up as when we learn about them. So go over to the website if you're looking for more information about OrCam. Now, Envision also had an update, and it didn't come out in the email, but it does have an update for Galaxy users. That would be the ID Galaxy user. And if you remember, Ricky and I talked about that earlier this year because we have one in the house. This update is the second update to address a big issue that hit us when we updated our router. And that was that it wouldn't connect to Wi-Fi. And while you can still use a lot of data on the device itself, and of course you can actually update your SD card and get the latest additions that way, it is extremely nice to be able to scan something and have it go to Wi-Fi and get stuff from, say, directions for me or something. So it came out on October 4th. This addresses an issue with them trying to pair to iPhones, which was problematic, or some mix routers, which was what we ran into, because that was kind of bad. You may have to factor reset, but get the update, power down your unit, power back up. And if you've been having issues with Wi-Fi connection with the Galaxy, this should fix those issues. If not, definitely contact tech support, because Envision is trying to nail this. It's been that way since launch. There was a little bit of an issue, and we were lucky enough to get it to pair with our old router, and then I paired it with my Galaxy S5 for a while until we got this update to come on down, and then it found our wireless network without any issues. So definitely head on over to Envision America's website to learn more about this. And also keep an eye on Blind Bargains, because people have sold their Envision products recently, both the Galaxy and the previous unit. So keep following the Twitter feed or blindbargains.com.
I assume they've at least tried to sell. That was, one was $750. I think that would have been sold by now, but never know. It's a good deal. If like, you're looking for one of these things, that's, you know, especially for a product that just came out in the spring, that's going to be a very new unit. There's no really, you know, oh, how old is this unit or anything like that. You know, it just came out a few months ago.
ID Make Galaxy t-shirt from Minnesota just the other day. I was like, oh yeah, Envision gave away t-shirts at their booth this year. It's kind of cool. The last thing that we have here, we've mentioned some side projects that have happened for our friends, such as Shelley and Jeff Bishop and others. And of course, we just mentioned how Jamie Pauls was writing over at Access World. Our good friend Chancey Fleet, who we talked about with the New York Public Library not too long ago, was on a show called Coding Rainbow, where she talked about accessibility and coding. And go Chancey. She's making some amazing networking contacts out there with her conversations. If you really want to hear some good stuff, go back to her Facebook interviews from the NFB convention. Chancey did an awesome job with our summer convention stuff. So if you haven't heard that, roll on back like 7, 8, 9 audios at this current recording to hear some of the work that she did in Orlando.
Oh, yeah. It's been, time kind of flies, right?
I was thinking that the other day. I know. When I was looking at, when you said 88.1, I was already thinking about episode 100, and, you know, we'll be coming up on our 2-year anniversary soon, which is strange to think about that. It just, that was a couple of iPhones and iOS updates ago. Wow. Go figure.
Wow. So here, I'm going to do this, which is not in the show notes, just to throw Joe off. And talking to Liam, and he is actually working on an update to Super Egg Hunt.
Super Egg Hunt. Plus.
3, 2, 1.
Fun little game. It's a time waster. It's an absolute time waster. And I have wasted a lot of time on this thing. We do happen to sell it over at AT Guys, and there's new version 2 coming out, which will be a free update. It's going to have a few new things, some new game modes, including one called a free play mode. You know, there's actually some teachers that have asked him to do a mode where you can just kind of walk around and collect eggs, not have any hazards, because they actually use it for students for learning computers and orientation and things like that. I thought it was kind of interesting. And also a mode called Grid Runner, where you clear the eggs off of a smaller grid, and then it goes to a bigger grid, and it goes to a bigger grid. The more, you know, the grids keep getting bigger, the eggs keep, or the eggs don't, but the grids get bigger, number of eggs becomes higher, and it's a really interesting new way to play. So I have, he actually posted about a 2-minute audio clip of that. And
You mentioned teachers. Let me flip the script for you real quick before we go to break.
Okay.
There was talk about talking typing tutor for iOS. Did you see that?
Yes. I was trying to find more details. Not enough to get a story yet. Now, APH has mentioned the talking typer a year ago. They alluded that they're working on it. And I believe they were looking for field testers a month or two ago. So it looks like it's pretty close to being a thing on the iPhone.
I'll cite the tweet in show notes. So if people want to know where I got this information from, it's it was coming out of the meetings for them just recently.
And, yeah, from the APH. Yeah, they had their annual meeting in Louisville, and our good friend Ting had a tweet that went all over the place. She got retweeted heavily when she mentioned that. So
a lot of people have been looking for that and asking for that.
It's one of their most popular apps. Don't say
that APH isn't listening. You know, if you look at, you know, all the hardware that they're coming out, nearby Explorer for iOS, and now this, man, they're coming on.
They're doing a lot of stuff. They're doing a lot of things, which is really cool. So we'll definitely have more of their annual report. Going on.
San Francisco Lighthouse cannot ignore what they were doing with the Arduino project. There's a lot of stuff going out there we don't always put on the show because sometimes it just, it isn't a news story, but follow some of these companies on Twitter if you really want some news between our podcasts. It's a great way of keeping up with a lot of these kind of big centers, like the Carroll Center also is another one of those places where we seem to be having places outside of Baltimore making news in the field of blindness and low vision, and some amazing stuff coming out of all these great places. Good to see. It's really, really good to
Lots
see.
Lots of really cool stuff.
So coming up after whatever this is next, there'll be a tip, and then there'll be the last word and sound off. No, it probably will be about Microsoft keyboards. We've been talking about Surfaces lately, and there's a Surface keyboard coming out, which means that Microsoft is actually moving out some of their old stuff. I actually picked up a fairly cheap all-in-one media keyboard from Microsoft. What does that mean, and how does that compare to the mobility keyboard that I got not too long ago? I'll kind of go over that and some use cases for that. And maybe it's something you'll want to pick up on before the new Surface keyboards. I'm kind of a keyboard collector. I need to get like a DOS keyboard and some others. Keyboards matter to me.
Oh my gosh.
Even like an Amazon Basics or a Dell Basics keyboard, I can find just as much love in that as I can one of those $250 keyboards. So I recently retired my keyboard that I had used for all my Ranger Station blog posts. So it was a very sad Viking funeral for that keyboard. So we'll hear about that tip, and then we'll be back in your ears in no time here on Blind Bargains Cast 77.
Super Egg Hunt. Plus, please choose an option from the following menu. Play. Please choose a game mode.
Grid Runner.
Thank you. Your score is
151.
Hooray! That's a new high score. Why not post it on the scoreboard?
Once again, that was a demo of one of the new modes of the forthcoming Super Egg Hunt 2.0. It's a $15 game. You can get it now at atguys.com. It will be upgraded to version 2.0 in short order, and you can follow at Elworks Games on Twitter, and you can learn a lot more about what is going on there. Liam always says a lot of things about the things that he's working on and planning on, so there you go. Again, at Elworks Games on Twitter, and Super Egg Hunt 2.0 coming soon.
Last year, I talked about I got a Microsoft Mobility Keyboard, which is a really neat keyboard that has a fold-up case over it, so it's like a keyboard that slides into its own case, and you can actually control three devices via Bluetooth that way. So you can control, say, an iPhone, an Android phone, and a Windows PC all through Bluetooth if all of those devices are supported. In the case of the Windows PC, not every PC has Bluetooth, but if it does, you can actually have three different devices on one keyboard. You can just move this little slider back and forth, and you can control these devices, and that keyboard came down to like $39 or even less, and I jumped on it. And I love that keyboard. But the problem is that if, like I said a minute ago, if the PC doesn't have Bluetooth on it, then I really can't connect with this, because even if I take the micro USB cable and plug it into the computer, it's really just powering the keyboard or recharging it. It's not connecting, and I can't control the PC via USB. Well, I still have a couple of old computers around here, especially ones that run Windows 7. And I also have my Xbox upstairs, and I sometimes need keyboards to do that kind of thing for, in the case of Narrator on the Xbox, especially keyboards certainly help. I was in the Microsoft store, and they had the all-in-one media keyboard, and I'm kind of a fan of Microsoft keyboards. I've never really had any issues with them. I've always liked the IntelliMice and things like that. So I don't mind Microsoft hardware. And this was on sale, and I jumped on it. It, too, is like less than $40. It all depends on which Microsoft store you go into. It sounds pretty thick. It's got nice little rubber feet. This particular one is all in black. The thing about the all-in-one keyboard in this case, unlike the all-in-one media keyboard where I don't have an application key, I really don't have one here either. However, I do have a trackpad for the mouse. And I mean, it's a pretty substantial size trackpad. However, it takes up the entire side of where you would have the numpad. So if you're a screen reader user, your hand might want to sit here, and it would actually sit on what is essentially a mouse trackpad with two buttons on the bottom. And by two buttons, I mean, if you tilt the pad left, it would be a left click. If you tilt the pad right, it would be a right mouse click. And that was a little disconcerting at first. However, for situations like when I'm using the Microsoft Surface or a laptop, it's nice because I can kind of move my finger around on a very wide mouse pad, but not necessarily have to have my hands on the actual laptop keyboard. The keyboard has a good feel. It doesn't tilt, so if you're looking for little legs that fold out and tilt, it doesn't do that, but it is kind of angled slightly, very slightly. And if you rest your hands on the left side of the keyboard, this might not be a keyboard you would want to look at, because on the far left side is a lock, mute, and volume control. And the mute slash lock can easily be hit if you do things like reach up for escape. You might actually overhit. It is a rounded button, and it is textured, so you know it's there. And then below that is the volume keys, which go up and down. And on the very bottom, you have the mute and all of that, which you might hit if you, say, lean your hand kind of where caps lock is. Then the other downside about this particular keyboard that some people might not like is the media keys and the function keys. You actually have to toggle between them. So that's a little weird. And if you go to hit like F5 or F7, because this is still kind of a compact, even though it's the size of a regular 101 and 104 keyboard, it still has all these media keys on it. If you do the FN or something like that, you have to remember where you are. Although finding those keys once when you have them memorized are easy, they're not chiclet keys. They actually have some definition and spacing between them. And this is another reason why I kind of like the keyboard, because I tend to go for keys that have a little space on them. I don't like chiclet keys. Ricky does like chiclet keys, so she tends to use the Microsoft keyboard that is the mobility one a bit more. And so doing something like Shift F10 is a little bit of a finger gymnastic on this particular keyboard, because there is no dedicated context key. So if you're not a right clicker or a context application key user, then you'll be fine. But if you do use kind of a laptop layout, this might not be a great fit. It is also strange in that this runs on two AA batteries, and I'm flipping the keyboard. I'm on the back of it now at the very top, like up by the number row. If I pulled this little flat piece off, it takes up almost the entire middle section of the keyboard. That's where the battery thing is that I just pulled off. And there are two batteries that lay lengthwise of the keyboard, and they point sort of towards where the caps lock key is. And then over here towards the right side of the keyboard is the nub that you would then stick into a USB to connect. And this is one of the things I like. Remember I said earlier, this is why I kind of sort of went for something like this, because I needed that. Positive, this nub is really small and it fits into the keyboard magnetically. There we go. And I like that. Downside, it is easy to get this stuck in to a USB slot that is cramped. So there's a recessed Xbox USB keyboard type connector on the left side of the Xbox One, not the S, the older Xbox Ones. And if you place this nub in there, as I did on the left side, it slides in there really, really firm, but then you have to have really small fingers or a lot of hand strength to pull that back out. So if you have, you know, keyboard or USB slots that are going to be very, very deep inside a console or inside a CPU case, this is not a good idea, because it was very difficult for me to remove that from that particular area. And it is very thin. I mean, it is the end of a USB, and then just jutting out a little bit is the antenna, and that is it. And it looks kind of triangular at the end, not the part that's USB that plugs in, but where it sticks out. And it gives very little room for purchase. And if your hands are kind of slick or sweaty or something like that, you're not going to get good purchase on it. But if that doesn't stop you, and again, this is $40 or less for a keyboard that has this kind of ability to do that, and you can pull that out and put that back in here, and it slides back in, and then I can put the keyboard case part back on. It actually is very tactile, so you actually know that you're going to put this on, because the part that makes the connection like that is flat and the other part is rounded. So you know which way that you're going to slide it in. It's not like you're going to put it in upside down or backwards. The power switch is on the far right side of this keyboard. It is over by this mouse pad where the trackpad is and the number pad would normally be. And it is very thin, so if you have neuropathy, you might not find it at first, but once when you do know where it is, it's there, it slides up. It does have lights on it for num lock and caps lock. And the space bar and the key presses are fairly decent. I like the reaction time. I like the feel. It's not a mushy feel. It springs right back up when you're typing. For me, I've had to train myself to kind of be back in typing mode of being in school, because if I rest my hand kind of sort of more towards the right side of things near the enter key. But what I've ended up doing is accidentally brushing this trackpad and causing my cursor to go different places when I'm editing, or my mouse pointer to go moving. So I've had to be a little bit more prone to putting my hands in Dawn dishwashing liquid, if you will, to Palmolive, I believe was the real one, to make sure my hands are specifically on the keys when typing, which is probably a good thing anyway, not to be lazy when typing. But if I do kind of relax or rest, I can brush this a little bit, because it is really close to the enter key. It sounds like there's a lot of caveats as I'm talking about it. I do like this keyboard. I didn't force myself to like this keyboard. I'm certainly thrilled with the price for what it is, and giving me the ability to have a good range on this particular keyboard. I don't use the media function keys all that much. That wasn't really the selling point. It was a matter of, I was in the Microsoft store. I kind of had this on my list of things to get, and it was there. There are other alternatives out there. If you're looking for Bluetooth keyboards that have a bit of a nub on them and connect, but this is just an option. And with the Surface keyboard still to come out, these might be retired soon and they might be even cheaper. So if you need a keyboard, and I always collect them, this was kind of a good buy for me, but I don't necessarily recommend it for everybody, especially if you can't get your hands on it. And buying it sight unseen, I would say it's a pass. So when new Surface keyboards come out, I'll probably go fondle those for sure up at the Microsoft store. I love to go up to Microsoft and Apple stores and take a look at the new stuff. So check back again sometime after October 26th, and maybe we'll be talking keyboards once more here on Blind Bargains.
Say what you want about Windows 10, but they have added a lot of new keyboard shortcuts. One that you may have not played with as much is the Action Center, which is Windows A.
Notifications from settings grouped in 1 to 1 level 1.
It does two things. It shows notifications from apps such as Settings or Dropbox, but it also lets you toggle things such as Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So if I start tabbing through here...
Dismiss all notifications and this collapse button. Tablet mode toggle button not pressed. Connect toggle button not pressed. No toggle button not pressed.
You start seeing all these things like tablet mode.
All settings toggle button not pressed. Project toggle button not pressed. VPN toggle button not pressed. Bluetooth toggle button pressed.
VPN, there's Bluetooth. So I can toggle Bluetooth on and off just by pressing the spacebar. So right now we have...
VPN Bluetooth toggle button pressed.
It's pressed. If I press the spacebar, it's unpressed. Now, NVDA isn't reading that to me, but I can shift tab and tab back.
VPN toggle Bluetooth toggle button not pressed.
And now you see Bluetooth is not pressed.
Brightness toggle button not pressed. Cellular toggle button pressed.
We have other things like brightness.
Mobile hotspot toggle button not Wi-Fi toggle button pressed.
Cellular, there's mobile hotspot,
quiet
Wi-Fi.
Toggle button, location toggle button pressed. Quiet hour location toggle button pressed. Airplane mode toggle button not pressed. Clear all button. List notifications from set.
Now, some of these apply more to tablets and things that will have things like a cellular connection. Not all laptops do. Of course, you could have that on your laptop if you wanted to. So some of this stuff is geared more towards tablets, but it's a really quick way to toggle things such as Wi-Fi and Bluetooth without having to go into settings and do it all manually. That's Windows A on your Windows 10 computer. Send your tips to feedback at blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
A lot of feedback comes into us about what we say and what we do here at the show, and we appreciate all of it, good and bad. We like to hear those kinds of things. And if we get it wrong, we're thrilled to come out and say, hey, yeah, no, we did. Sometimes when we make mistakes, as Patrick likes to cut them up and copy them and hold them for a show at the end of the year called The Revenge Show by Patrick Perdue. Patent pending, I think, or TM. The
last year we only gave him a segment. We'll see what happens this year.
That's true. So we're on the floor and you're talking, and sometimes when you do like 10 of these in a day, unless you have extensive notes, and then sometimes you don't because you're standing at their booth, you don't get to ask the questions you want, or we're lucky to get them sometimes because they're in a booth. Their whole idea is to speak to as many people as possible. And, you know, we're taking time away from that. So when we're talking to interviews and stuff, sometimes things will slip our minds. Blind Educator asked us about that. Luis on Twitter asked us about the Braille Note Touch. And we had an article that kind of verified some things. And he kind of thought it was funny that we had missed not asking HumanWare these questions when we did the interview back at CSUN. You know, JJ, sometimes we don't know.
Yep.
Sometimes we won't know, or we're under NDA and can't say about
the future. Well, here's my honest, since I did that interview, it was talking about the lack of terminal mode. In other words, being able to pair your Braille Note Touch to an iPhone or whatever, which they're adding in the new version. We talked about this last week. Honestly, why didn't I ask about that? Because I assumed it was there. You know, I had no reason. I had no reason to think that it wasn't there. Every note taker in the past decade has had a mode like that, and didn't even occur to me until a little bit later. Like, oh shoot, that's an Android device. How are they pulling this off, or are they pulling this off? So yeah, that was the reason I didn't ask that. And you're right. But yes, there are so many things that happen at CSUN, yeah. And we're doing
just like
you said, many interviews
CES.
A day.
Just like CES, you've seen demos, like they take it out of your hands, like yeah, it'll do that. No, don't go in that menu. Don't
try it.
Yeah,
my favorite thing to do at CSUN is to find the demo machine of whatever sitting on the table that they aren't really watching as much, and just kind of go in, okay, let's see what firmware version this is running. All right. And then let's, you know, and like, let's look through some menus. And then eventually somebody will notice what I'm doing.
Yeah. And while things have changed a little bit, and we were talking a little bit earlier about JAWS and release dates, the cycle still does tend to be make an announcement at ATIA, bring a prototype or a demo to CSUN, and then get ready to sell by summer or fall of that year. And a lot of these products are still in their infancy, and features can come and go, or things can be added later. So when we go to talk to these companies, sometimes they're like, you know, I really be uncomfortable if you guys talked about this, which just makes us salivate. And then there's,
and we tweet out sometimes too. I mean, especially with the big interviews, like, hey, what should we check into on this? You know,
and we take that information into account, but, Greg Porch actually wrote in and said, you know, one of the things I don't like sometimes, Joe, is that reporting from Joe Steinkamp or reporting, you know, I'm Joe Steinkamp at the end. Why did I do these weird kind of outros? Cause you know, as a broadcaster, that wouldn't necessarily be the way that you would do that. And I told him an email, and I'll see her on the podcast. I'm actually going through my head, making sure I got all the questions right and the name and everything. And then I'm actually looking at my recorder to make sure that it's still recording. So I don't go, oh, that didn't work out. Okay, great. So a lot of times when I'm doing a long wrap up like that, it's subliminal that I do a weird outro.
Which is
like
kind
that
of funny because you and I do them differently as far as the wrap ups. I'm just like, and
sometimes
right,
it's branding.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's branding, making sure that our brand gets mentioned. When you do podcasting, it's really interesting because it's not like a linear broadcast. People can, you know, move faster, just like a book, you know, they can skip a chapter and we're aware of that. So we pay attention to broadcast patterns, but podcasting is not broadcasting. So when you're on the floor doing that in a heated moment, you just zone out at times. So there are many times all of us that have done these interviews have walked away and went, ow, I meant to ask. Oh, I got to get a follow-up for that. Can you come on the show? I've gone back and I've done that to Greg, and I've done that to Stilson. I've done that to Dave Wilson, where I've gone back and said, hey, man, I'd love to get you back on because I know we didn't go into this. Or when you go to do your presentation this afternoon, can you cover that so I can at least mention it on the show? So again, it's not an excuse. It's just kind of us coming clean and saying, when you do as many as we do in that short a time with that many kind of things, yeah, we'll miss a thing. But thank you for calling us out on it. We do appreciate it. We're not upset. We're not upset at people sending that stuff in. We want to make a better show, and we can only do that if you let us know where we kind of slipped up. Now, that leads into Bargain Hound Beth writing in and asking the question about Bluetooth audio. We talked a lot about our misgivings about Bluetooth and Apple's W1 chip, and Scott talked about what that would do for hearing aids and the like. And Beth was kind of like, could we explain Bluetooth a little better, or could we at least explain why we have some misgivings about Bluetooth audio so she can understand a little better of why it would impact her as a user?
Well, she calls out Patrick specifically. I'm not sure
she
if
does.
Patrick
That's
is
awesome.
In the room at the moment here.
If Patrick isn't listening live, he'll just jump in the middle of it, or he'll actually cut around us and actually stick in his answer.
Right.
But JJ, why don't you give, you had a feeling about this.
So here's the thing. Bluetooth, it all depends on what you're using it for. I use Bluetooth in office just to listen to music and podcasts, and I have the Bose SoundLink Mini too. It's a great speaker for things like that. The biggest encumbrance that I noticed, that's the second time I've used that word today, to this is the lag, especially with VoiceOver and with TalkBack. It's not the disconnecting. That doesn't usually happen. Good Bluetooth speakers won't disconnect anymore. I don't notice that. That used to be a bigger problem. But when you add an additional quarter of a second lag or half a second lag to your already quarter seconds, you know, when you touch something and you have to wait a half a second for it to respond to you, it pretty much makes it impossible to actually use Bluetooth. Even Braille is the same way. Try typing on a Braille display with Bluetooth versus a Braille display connected via USB. You will notice a difference. You know, same thing with even a regular keyboard, you will notice a difference. It might not be as pronounced, but you will notice that there is lag. And all the iterations and updates for Bluetooth over the years, they haven't solved this yet. We don't think Bluetooth, you know, maybe 5 will do something. We don't know, but it's lag for most people isn't a big deal. But for when you are actually getting your information, can you imagine if sighted people had Bluetooth monitors that lagged a quarter of a second? They'd freak out. There's no way. They wouldn't even use them. They wouldn't buy them, right? So that's what we're dealing with in a lot of situations. So that's why I really prefer to use wired audio in most situations, especially, and obviously if you're doing podcasting and things like that, it's got to be wired. You can't do wireless or Bluetooth, at least wireless in most situations. Does that cover things good enough? I'm not sure what Patrick would have given you a 30-minute detailed thing. But
that, and when you pair multiple devices, if you have more things going, let's say you're also doing other audio, and that's what Scott talked about a little, about his concerns about the Lightning adapter and the headphones and all of that, was that if you have more Bluetooth devices, you have more things on that spectrum, then you get more lag, or you can have more confusion, or you can have more drops. And that can be a big deal too. It just depends, again, on the use case, what you're doing, how many things you have connected, how many things you want to have connected. And audio is a little different than, say, a Braille display. There's a little different kind of communication going on there. So it does depend on that. It could depend on the speed of the phone. It could depend on what version of iOS you're using, or Android in some cases, or even Windows, because Windows has Bluetooth as well. And it's not exclusive to that, right? Microsoft Xbox has some chips within it to make sure all the controllers pair well or go to different frequencies if you have more than one Microsoft controller going at one time. It is just one of those things where it's a radio spectrum and things can happen. And we kind of talked about that with CSUN, where if you want to see battery life die, or if you really want to have your devices not work correctly, walk into a room full of people selling those devices. They're everywhere. So many things broadcasting. As a general rule, I turn off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth when I walk onto the floor of conventions, because
that kills my I should start doing that.
It is much easier and much faster and much better. I can't do airplane mode because we SMS back and forth to each other or things like that. But if it's my iPad,
data. You still have cell data. Anyway,
sure, but if I'm going to shoot video on the iPad or something like that, then I'll just go to airplane mode on that device and just go from there. And those are ways that we can kind of sort of get around it, because, you know, we're talking about 70 vendors who are all having their phones as well in default mode.
Plus everybody else in the room who might be having a cell phone, you know.
Well, that's it. And Apple's default is to have Bluetooth on and transmit it. So that's mm-hmm. just one of those
things. It's the vendors, it's the consumers, it's a little crazy. Well, it's a lot crazy. And there you go. We could talk about Bluetooth for hours. But I hope that helps you.
So I hope that kind of clarifies it a little bit and helps you out there. We have some more comments from Twitter. And here you go. iOS 10, huh?
I'm trying to figure this one out. This is
her bug is from weird. Evelyn.
When she touches on the screen with VoiceOver, it keeps just saying letters and numbers, letters and numbers, letters and numbers. When she touches any number on the keypad, something that's really odd. And
that is, I don't know, weird. If you fix Ricky it by reported, now. Ricky reported a bug about how some of our devices don't have the ability to get the Siri enhanced voices. And that's kind of weird. And that's happened before, actually. There used to be a workaround for that. That's not working on this particular version. I am noticing some issues with VoiceOver on iPads in landscape mode, like on the lock screen and the like. A good way to reproduce this is, if you have an iPad, use something like Play Music, something that isn't Apple Music, but use something like Play Music, Spotify. Then wake up your iPad and try to find the play pause button on the right side of the screen with VoiceOver. It can be very problematic. And there are a lot of controls that VoiceOver on landscape mode seems not to find at times on iOS 10.
You know, and there's updates already coming out for a lot of these things. Apple Viz does a really good job of tracking these bugs, and we'll see if we can track down this one for you as well.
Visually, I'm not wild about these new notifications. Other sighted people have said this, but again, you've heard me talk about night mode and the like. Previously, iOS used to have white text on a black background to do notifications, and I am aware about transparencies. There's a way around this, but I want to test it defaults. The default is white background with black text, and it's just kind of different visually, and it's kind of it's something I can live with, and it's, you know, very similar to the way that Android does them, so they're familiar looking. But there's just something sometimes about the glare of the iPad screen or the glare of the new iPhone that at night or in a darkened area that just really stands out. And it's made to do that. It's a very neat kind of display. But visually, I've not had too many quirks. I didn't like the transparencies at first. I've kind of sort of grown to adore them. in some situations, but I went in and changed my background so that way, and that sometimes usually is the best way for me to do that, is not to make customizations of the operating system, but to change certain aspects like backgrounds to make that a little easier to see. I am really liking, though, the new iPhone speakers. I don't think I would have enjoyed an iPhone previous to this for every so often use, but those stereo speakers, the sound that comes out of the grill at the bottom of the phone and then your earpiece is actually very vivid, and I kind of like it for voiceover. Where I didn't necessarily like it for the iPad Pro, which is one of the things why I didn't get an iPad Pro. As a whole, I don't know. I'm kind of not hating it. I know a lot of people hate Mail. Oh, man, iOS yes. 10 Mail. Whoa.
When Shelly had that tip people. For us a couple weeks ago.
Which yeah. Was- That helps. I know people like Michael Fear just went on over to Google Inbox. That's how he dealt with it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I think, again, it's kind of your use case and what you use it for and how often you use it for. You know, is your iPhone a phone or is it your everything device? So naturally, people are going to run into that. But like you said,
some people are just like the old, going, you know,
there's going to be updates.
Some people want to stick to whatever they're used to. You know, it's like the talk that was going around, there's that program, that email program for Windows that pretty much looks like old Outlook Express.
Oh yeah, the one that was it OE Classic or something like that, OE Essentials. But yeah, somebody found a Windows based Outlook Express clone that just really makes you feel like you're an OE, which is
yeah, you're right. It's called OE Classic, easy to use Outlook Express replacement.
That's what I thought. I remember Brian and Lulu Harchin talking about it. That's how I remember it coming into my head.
But
and I know that a lot of people, Bruce and others, have become big fans of it. I can understand that. I live in Outlook or Gmail, so I don't tend to notice that.
I miss my tabs. I love my tabs in Thunderbird, and that would kill me if I didn't have that.
You know, there was that rumor going around that Thunderbird team was kind of stalled or that it hit
not
necessarily sunset, you know, but I often wonder because you're not alone. I know Steve Sochin and others are big fans of Thunderbird.
And they keep updating it for now. So there you go. Liam's the Gadget Guy says the
Firefox mobile operating system is dead. I'm sorry, Jay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Liam, I'm trying to move this forward here.
I know.
Liam, the official Gadget Guy, he says, I know I'm the official Blind Bargains Gadget Guy and all that, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get a Google Home or not. Well, I'm getting one for you, Liam. So
I am. I'm getting a television. And you're getting I am.
There you go. You're getting a television and everything. You know what? Joe, once again, let's just the mashup theme continues. Let's just play this.
Favorites. So I often come back Nirvana, to this one because I'm
Lady
stunned
Gaga.
By this one. It works extremely well. Just like last week where that shouldn't be. This is one I found years ago and I still come back to every once in a while because I'm just kind of like, what? How does that work? This is good, but Lady Gaga has a new record out and there's a new season of South Park. So Jay, for you, I like this version too.
Na 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 na. I wanna hold them like they do in Texas plays. A little gambling is fun when you're with me. I love it. Russian roulette is not the same without a gun. And baby, when it's love, if it's not rough, it isn't fun. But oh, well, I'll get him high, show him what I
I'm looking at this other one that you put below.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the one after it. I remember this.
Yes.
The South
but
Park.
But someone went in and mixed it in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I forget which episode that was already, but the Cartman on South Park.
It's the
scene,
one with the whales. It's, yeah, where they're trying to save the whales.
Yeah, and then you have Cartman. You have Cartman doing
it. Yeah. But I like both versions of this. And, the you know, Lady
Nirvana's
Gaga.
Nirvana's way out of place here. What? Why Nirvana? Could it at least been the Weird Al smells like Nirvana? Maybe they didn't have the acapella version of that to do it.
Oh, there you go.
Because that.
So there are two of my kind of favorite mashups of old songs. We played a couple of these this year, and I've actually been sitting on these for a Last Word opening to kind of go, you know, these are kind of some of my favorites. Some people have way more time and creativity than I do. There's actually a really good one. I'll have to put it also here. Someone did a really good Wubba Lubba Dub Dub Rick and Morty mix, which is awesome. Like a weird Get Swifty mix, which is kind of cool. I'll put it here in the show notes as well. But yeah, there's some amazing stuff out there in the community.
You know what? Yeah, I was going to do one here. I'm going to hold this for next week because it's more crazy music. But the more to okay, come, I'm going to hold this. Yeah, let's hold that. Let's hold that for next week because it's more music.
More music, yes. And music Last Word continues in episode 78 yes. And beyond.
And beyond.
There are things to come. A Microsoft event. It is true. It is happening. October 26th is the date. And then we will do a wrap-up show the week after with a very special guest. And it's going to be really interesting to talk about all the new things. Is it new Surface Books? Is it a Surface Phone? It just says Windows 10 devices. No. So what is the future of Windows 10 devices?
It's Cortana Home.
Cortana, yes.
Gotta buy it. Gotta buy
the home.
It just won't do anything. It won't do anything at all.
No. it was funny. I read a popular mechanics article today about adding snark to Siri, making her more snarky. And then I put right after it in Twitter, Google Assistant had writers from The Onion and Pixar to give it kind of a more human-like personality or to endear it with more qualities. So we're going to have a lot of this competing technology going back and forth. And yeah, Cortana needs to join in.
Anyway, more coming up next week on episode. You know, I don't even know who Rick and Morty is.
What?
Is that sheltered? I'm just that shelter.
Oh, wow.
You keep mentioning it.
We have a youngster in the house, idea. But no yeah, idea. Rick and Morty is good. Gravity Falls, which is what we're watching right now, is also good. So yeah, learning a lot about what the youngins watch these days, the younglings, if I were to be Star Wars specific. So yeah, that's
I watch
that's
South Park and The Simpsons.
I watch South Park and Simpsons as well, but a lot of Adult Swim shows. So there's a lot of that. RIP Mr. Kroger, the voice of Zorak from Space Ghost. They recently had they made all the Space Ghost Coast to Coast episodes free on Adult Swim, so you can watch them. There's something like 200 of the doggone things. Wow. And I've met Space Ghost on a number of occasions, Mr. George Lowe, not Gary Owens, which I also would have liked to have met, but no, I've met George Lowe a bunch of times. He's really cool. Okay, so 78 next week. No idea what we're going to be then. We'll have to fill some time until October 26 rolls around, and that'll be the week of the November show. We've also got some ideas about what's going to happen for our Black Friday show, which is not too far away, Thanksgiving.
Oh, geez.
And then we'll have the This Year in AT, which will be somewhat interesting because I imagine a lot of people will just jump to write what the number one story is. And so we'll have to see what the battle
time.
For the other 10
There's
slots
still time.
Are.
Yeah, something
that is
happen.
True. We could have an October surprise. Let us know what you think. Feedback@blindbargains.com. And if you want to get a hold of me between shows, you can always find me over at twitter.com/rangerstation, where you will learn more about technology and mainstream technology and possibly a lot of sci-fi. Okay, no, really, a lot of sci-fi.
You can follow the Blind Bargains Twitter at Blind Bargains, and that's where I am monitoring the show intel and things like that. Of course, you can also comment on shows over at blindbargains.com. And if you want to get games and other things for your iPhone, such as Super Egg Hunt that we talked about earlier, and other things, you can go to atguys.com, where I will be at the National Federation of Blind of Michigan, my home state convention.
Yay!
In all Southfield, right. Michigan, November 4 to 6. And then the National Federation of the Blind of Nevada in Reno, November 11 to 13. So a couple things coming up. And
So what hotel is that one at? Do you know?
Some casino, I'm sure.
Oh, dude. I'm so looking
it's
forward
not
to going
the,
back to...
It's not the Johnny Squaggis Nugget. It's at a different one. It's not the
man,
same.
I'm looking so forward to going back to J
one.
Nugget. I love J Nugget. That is so cool.
There's an In-N-Out over there. It's on 2nd Street, though. I think it's right near in the same area. So it's right downtown. And there is an In-N-Out in Reno. So there's that.
There is a lot of stuff to come, and just stay with us to hear more about this and so much more. Thank you for listening. By the way, if you're interested in advertising on the podcast, this is where your advertising spot would go, as well as in the front of the show. To learn more, please write us feedback at blindbargains.com or info at blindbargains. And if you want to be a part of the Black Friday stuff, let us know as well. If you aren't sure, go back to last year and hear what we did. JJ did an amazing job of rolling all that together. So for myself, the fantastic Patrick Perdue, who edits this show, and then that guy over there, JJ, everybody have a great week.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.